Okay, so Mary, would you like to open, please?
Yes. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're all together now to be able to do the Zoom meeting this afternoon and have sweet fellowship one with the other around your name, Lord. And we thank you for all you've done for us and all you mean to us, Lord. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Over to you, Don. We are recording.
Okay. Well, this afternoon, the time we have together, which is good, I've just called this the mystery of the church. Nobody like it. Mystery of the church. Nobody like it. Now, that word mystery, what is the word mystery here? Well, it's not something that Sherlock Holmes would have to solve. It's really God's secret thoughts, his plans or his dispensations that are hidden from normal humanity and has to be revealed by divine revelation. We can't find out unless God reveals to us his truths. So it's not like the normal word we have in English for the word mystery, not that at all, which man can solve, not at all, not like that. It's mystery then is something which in the past has been unrevealed until the time when God chose to reveal it, make it known. And that is where the church comes in. So he chose to reveal the church when Jesus came and not before. You won't find the church in the Old Testament, for example. So if you have your Bibles open, would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read from verses 4 through to 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 to 12. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words, writes Paul, of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, in other words, man's, yet not the wisdom of this age, so I missed it. Nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Verse 7. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery. There's the word. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's a quotation from Isaiah 64. Let's read on verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, in other words, as he reveals it. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. That's your unsaved person. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We'll leave it there. So that, we could use a quotation from Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. That's Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. So we're looking at the church, which is quite a mystery. Now, how can that be? Well, you will not find the church in the Old Testament. That's about Israel and the nations. When Jesus came on the scene, he said, I will build my church. In other words, future. I will. Future. Not in the past, but future. It's not as some people believe, oh, well, he started the church back in Adam or Abraham. No, no, not at all. The church is a mystery not revealed in the Old Testament times. Now let's have a think about that. Can we prove that? Yes, we can. Would you please go to Romans, go back a few pages to Romans 16. Go back a few pages to Romans 16. And look at verses 25 and 26. Romans 16, 25 and 26. Let's look at that. Now, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, writes Paul, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. There it is. The revelation has to be revelation. The revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. In other words, God didn't reveal it until the right time came, when Jesus came. But now has been made manifest or declared, shown, and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith in Christ, obviously. Right. That's Romans 16. Now would you go on to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Read a few verses there. Ephesians 3. We look from verses 3 to 9. It starts there. Ephesians 3, verses 3 to 9. And Paul writes this. He's talking about the dispensation of the grace of God in verse 2. Dispensation of the grace of God, that's what we are. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, for I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit, like we read in 1 Corinthians 2, revealed by the Spirit to his body, to his holy apostles and prophets, to begin with, to his holy prophets and apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles, this is it, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, that's with the saved Jewish people, of the same body, Christ's body, us church, and partakers of his promises in Christ through the gospel, of course, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this is a verse 9, and to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Let's see what that was, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. There it is again. God hid it, didn't reveal it. Hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Now, what was that? Well, one mystery, of course, is that Jew and Gentile, both saved, are in one body. That was never revealed in the Old Testament. If a Gentile wanted to be worshipping God, he had to become Judaized. But he was never really part of Israel as such. He was still a Gentile. But here in Christ, Jew and Gentile in one body. Now, that's back in chapter 2, if you look in verse 16, you're talking about the Jew and the Gentile, chapter 2, 16, they might reconcile them both, that's Jew and Gentile, to God in one body, Christ's body, the church, through the cross, of course, thereby putting to death the enmity, that's between the Jew and Gentile. And he came and preach peace to you who are far off. Gentiles were far off from God. And to those who were near. The Jewish people, Israel, was near to God. For through him we both, verse 18, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Both Jew and Gentile in one body in Christ. That's a mystery. That was never revealed in the Old Testament. As a body. The body of Christ was never revealed in the Old Testament. The church, Jew and Gentile, saved, reconciled to God. That's important. And the Lord Jesus said, I mentioned just now, I will build my church, future, as he mentioned this to his disciples. And that foundation or cornerstone is Christ, Jesus. He's the cornerstone. for the body of Christ, the true church, and we're built upon the foundation as the apostles. And we're also called the temple of the living God. That was never revealed in the Old Testament. Another thing that's true as well is the rapture. Would you go on beyond that to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? You know it well, don't you? This is the other thing which is brand new. Never revealed in the Old Testament. Rapture? No. Resurrection? Yes. Resurrection, yes, but not rapture. Well, you know the verses. Let's read them. 1 Thessalonians 4, you know it well. And verse 13 to 18, I'll read them through. You know them. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. He wants them to know about this. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who died in Christ, lest you should have sorrows, others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, those who have died. Resurrection. Well, this we say to you by the word of God, that's Paul's authority, that we, word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede, you may have prevented the AB, but precede in New King James, those who are asleep, those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another when these words. Now, that's obviously the rapture. We know them very well, don't we? But that was never revealed in the Old Testament. Not rapture. Living believers called up to be with the Lord, never there. Resurrection, yes. Resurrection is taught in Isaiah. Job mentioned it. I will see in my body when I'm redeemed. In my flesh, I will see my Redeemer. Job 19. And also, of course, it's in Isaiah. Isaiah and Daniel. Daniel was told that as well. You will awake at the end days, Daniel. So you'll be told resurrection. Rapture? No. So that's important. Now the feast things in Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians again, where we were. Now we read those verses in chapter 2, verse 16. We read it just now. But there's a reference to the one body, Jew and Gentile in Christ, one body. We are one body. Let's read from verse 12 again, from verse 12. At the time you, Gentiles, were without Christ, being aliens, strangers, from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world, not a chance. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, Gentiles, and were made near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace. Verse 14, he made both one, Jew and Gentile, broken down the middle wall of partitions, I say. And verse 16, he might reconcile them both to God in one body. Here it is, one body. So we are the body of Christ. Well, we know that, don't we? It's very clear there. One body. We are blood bought. We're born again with the Spirit. We are redeemed people, Jew and Gentile, born again in Christ. So we're a body. But also the church is a building. Go back in chapter 2 once again and read from verse 19, Ephesians 2, 19. Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Jew and Gentile in Christ, members of the house of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone of the temple of the living God, us. In whom, here's the word, the whole building. Being joined together, Jew and Gentile in Christ, joined together. Grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Temple of the Holy Spirit. So there you have it. The church is a building. It's also a temple. We are a body. As in 1 Peter 2 and 2 Corinthians 16. You are the temple of the living God. So it is. Third thing, stay in chapter 5, but go to chapter, in Ephesians, go to chapter 5. Now these you know well, of course, you do. Ephesians 5, 23 to 27. This is about the bride. Ephesians 5:23. This is about the husband and wife relationship initially. Husband is head of the wife, verse 23, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as church is subject to Christ, so let a wife be to their own husband, and every husband love your wife, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for, that he might sanctify, cleanse, by the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself, this is the verse 27, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So we are to become a glorious church, a bride, completely cleansed, without spot or wrinkle, just as a bride called to be holy. We are the body of Christ, we're the building of Christ, we're the bride of Christ in the future. That's very clear, isn't it? And if you go on in the same chapter, please, to verse 32. This is a great mystery. There's the word again. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. We're his body, we're his building, we're his bride to be in the future. We're the true church. Jew and Gentile in one body, unique. Reference to the church, as I say, Jew and Gentile, the promise of the rapture, not in the Old Testament, promise only to the church. Now, would you go on to Colossians chapter 1? Colossians chapter 1. Here's another word about mystery. I could have mentioned it before. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Here it is again. The mystery which has been hidden from ages. Hidden, not revealed through ages. And from generations. But now has been revealed to his saints. You know and understand it. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. The riches of the glory of this mystery. What's that? Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, that's unique. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon the prophets and kings and some people. Rarely, only rarely did he come within them, but the Holy Spirit is within every one of us. Christ in you. He lives in you. You've been born again of the Spirit. He is reproducing the very life of Christ in you and in me. We're the body, we're the building, we're the bride. We see that in the church, unique, Jew and Gentile in one body. Promise of the rapture. And here, the promise of Christ in you. That's unique, rarely in the Old Testament. So they are the mysteries. Now, word mystery, of course, is not something new. Daniel had mysteries revealed to him. We could look at them for that. If we go back to Daniel, just for a change, go back to Daniel chapter 2 with me. We'll look at different places. Daniel chapter 2. Verses 18 and 19 of Daniel chapter 2. What did Daniel receive here? Well, look at verses 18 and 19. Daniel is in his house. He is having a time of prayer. That they might seek the mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret. That this Daniel and his companions might not perish to the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Of course, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had this dream or vision. And he says he'd forgotten it. No one else could interpret it, but Daniel could. And Daniel replied in verse 19, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And you can see in verse 20 that he reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. And Daniel praised the Lord. He had the mystery, nobody else could. Daniel, the Lord guided him into this mystery, which is very plain, isn't it? Mystery there. Go to verse 27. Daniel replies to the king. You see, he goes, Daniel answered the king in the presence of the king, said, The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, so-and-so's cannot declare to the king. But there's a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and is made known to King Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel what will be in the latter days. Interesting, in the latter days. So that really is quite something, isn't it? I'll go to verse 47, same chapter 47. This is over something else. The king answered down and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets. Since you could reveal this secret, oh God, revealed it to Daniel, he revealed it to Nebuchadnezzar. So there were mysteries there in the Old Testament, but only as God revealed to, say, in this case, Daniel the prophet, that revelation he would give to King Nebuchadnezzar. Well, you know, Daniel, about the end time, different kingdoms going from Babylon, Medo, Persia, Greece, Rome, and then the final reconstituted, if you like, Roman Empire. Well, you know all about that. So it's interesting that word for mystery is in fact mentioned 22 times in the Hebrew Bible. It's from a Hebrew word, three letters, sod, S-O-D. It's sod, and it's translated, sod is translated, secret counsel, truth only understood when God chose to reveal it to the prophets like Daniel. It's translated as secret counsel, truth only understood when God chooses to reveal it, in this case, to the prophets like Daniel. And, of course, Jesus spoke about he would build his church. Do you notice he didn't even mention the word church in Matthew's gospel until he was rejected by that generation of Israel? Then he talked about church, I think from chapter 16 onwards. I will build my church. Chapter 18, he speaks about discipline in the church. However, we won't turn to that now. So the mystery of the church was revealed, in this case, so we say, to the Apostle Paul. So let's move on into the New Testament again, shall we? This time to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Let's read 11 and 12. But I made known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. In other words, God had to reveal it to Paul. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, in fact, if you look in verse 17, you see what happened. He says, I didn't get it from the apostles. I didn't go up to Jerusalem to those who were the apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years in Arabia, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained there 15 days. I didn't see any of the others, he said, except James and one's brother. In other words, he had the revelation, many revelations, about the Lord, about the church, which the Lord gave to the Apostle Paul those 3 years in Arabia. Two things. Remember, he didn't see the apostles beforehand. He was saved on the road to Damascus, as you know. Didn't meet any of them. He had the rapture revealed to him. None of the other apostles did. Peter never mentioned it. James didn't mention it. Paul did. He had the revelation in Arabia. Also about the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11. He didn't consult anybody else. The Lord revealed it to him. He wasn't there in the upper room when Jesus took the bread and cup and gave the new meanings. No, but the Lord revealed. And he then, of course, you know, 1 Corinthians 11, he revealed the Passover, now the Lord's table. That was revealed to Paul. He had those secrets revealed to him. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 4. Can we do that? Go back to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. See, responsibility. 1 Corinthians 4, let a man so consider us, the apostles, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. God made known, especially to Paul in this instance, moreover, it is required in stewards that one is found faithful. They were stewards of the mysteries of God. They were then to make known. And how much is real? How much? No. The Apostle John. How much the Lord revealed to him on the Isle of Patmos? We have a whole book of Revelation. Nobody else did it. He couldn't work it out. The Lord had to reveal that, all those events of the final days, to the Apostle John. Nobody else. And he was on the island of Patmos. He was alone with the Lord for all that time, however long. Just as Paul was alone with the Lord in Arabia for 3 years. Remarkable, isn't it? So, I'll just think about that just for a moment. We've looked at the thoughts of the uniqueness of the church. We're one body of Jew and Gentile, both saved, those who are saved in the body of Christ. No question about it. There's a promise of the rapture to living believers. We know the resurrection is mentioned in the Old Testament. We know that. But here we know we have the promise of the rapture. It's in 1 Corinthians 15 as well. I won't read that. And we know that according to John's Gospel, chapter 14, 17, you didn't turn, I'll read it. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. This is John 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, but he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now there's the Spirit of the Lord in you, unique. And verse 20, John 14, 20. I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Wonderful. Promise of rapture. Jew and Gentile, one body in Christ. All mystery. Not the Old Testament. Christ in you. Church is a body. Church is a building. Church is a mystery. Now, just to finish off with, is the church in the Old Testament? No, it's not. The church is not mentioned at all in the Old Testament. It's a mystery. Only revealed when Jesus came and not before. The church was born on that special day of Pentecost and not before. The church was born in at the time of Pentecost in that Jewish festival. Not before. It's new. It's unique. That's the answer to replacement theology, by the way. The church does not replace Israel. They put his church in the Old Testament. It's not there. I would just make one final comment, if I may, while we have 2 minutes. There are two words. One is ecclesia, which you know is called out one separated to the Lord in salvation. And that means from among all the nations, colors, creeds, languages, all around the world, all in one body when they're saved, Jew and Gentile. But in Israel, the revealed word to Israel, almost equivalent to that word ecclesia, is the word kahal, K-A-H-A-L. And it means an assembly or a congregation. Now that is an assembly or congregation. It's in Exodus 19 and elsewhere in the Old Testament, books of Moses. And it is there as a people of one race, of one tongue. One people, Israel. Ecclesia, the church, is made up of many nations, as I said, many peoples, many tongues, many, many colors. All one body in Christ Jesus. Now, if we just have time, would you look back to one mistake? In Acts chapter 7, I think we'll sort that out if we just have a moment to do it. In Acts chapter 7, in Acts chapter 7, the verse he wants is 38. There's the word congregation in the wilderness. in the AV, you do have church. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Authorized Bible, you find it's church.
That's right, yeah.
It's not. No. Because the word ecclesia means people of many colors, nationalities, colors, language, dialects, culture, everything.
No, that's fine.
And the congregation in the wilderness is not the word church. I think the people who were the translators must have been amillennialists and put the church in the Old Testament. No, the word should be congregation or assembly. Congregation or assembly. And that's a very important. It's unfortunate that the word church is there in the Authorized, but it should be congregation or assembly. So in other words, it's very clear that they made a mistake there. People do, they are the church in the wilderness. That's in the Old Testament. No, it should be congregation and assembly, which in Exodus 19 and other places, it is assembly, congregation of one nation, one people, Israel. So the church is a mystery. You are part of that mystery. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Don. Lovely.